Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Brady has a calf injury.
I can't believe what I'm hearing over here.
Limited participation.
Wow.
Anybody concerned about that?
Goose and pork.
Dale Arnold.
Eli won the Super Bowl MVP in both games with throws Brady wishes he could make.
There is so much stupidity and only 4 hours to get to all of it.
In a big game, I take Eli over Brady any day.
Not a living like a blind man.
Rich Keith.
Let's talk about the bromance.
All right.
Bend over and I'll show you.
He was the kindest guy.
Oh my gosh.
We spent most of the day
so
together.
Loved.
Tom Brady could have been my dad.
I'm in love with the guy. How can you not?
Dale and Keith, middays.
But every time I study details of their D, always about the little nuance.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So we sometimes like to open up a little inside radio stuff for the boys and girls.
Sure.
A little inside radio stuff. So I'm listening to the Greg Hill show this morning, as I mentioned, as I do every morning.
As you do every morning.
And at one point, Ken Laird and Chris Curtis were mocking me because...
Mocking you?
Yes. Well, they
that seems unheard of.
Yeah, not that they would ever do that. But the whole premise was they wanted to play a Rob Parker cut, even though I have said on the air, I don't want to give this guy the oxygen.
Yeah, I don't think we should talk about him.
So they then played the cut, and Greg and Fitzy and Danielle said, yeah, I'm with Dale on this one.
I'm out on that.
So we stick him in the open.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I think we've already moved on. Talk about something else. Tom Brady calf injury yesterday. When you saw that, what did you think?
As I tweeted out, I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to overreact.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. And we were just talking about how the quarterbacks in the NFL are dropping like absolute flies. And I'm not suggesting Brady is not going to play. He's
My
been on the injury report for years.
He'll be at practice today and won't be limited.
Don't you miss the right shoulder full participation?
Every day.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I missed that. That was a nice run for a while where every single week he was on there.
And at some point, somebody in the NFL had to have said to Belichick, all right, we got it. Okay,
well,
stop.
Didn't they get rid of the probable distinction? They
because
got rid of that.
Of
and they're like, enough. They're like, all right, you're either questionable, you're doubtful, or you're out. But you see that and. Because they'd had a pretty clean injury report the week before, and now you get into just week three of the season. Now, they don't have as many guys as the Jets do on theirs, but still, Devlin and Calhoun were out, and a bunch of players were limited, and including Tom Brady. So you just add it to the list now of different things. You remember he had the hand that he was dealing with in the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Yep.
He's had shoulder injuries off and on.
He actually told Greg and those guys on Monday that he's come close to missing games on a lot of occasions over the course of his career. And that big, gigantic gash on his thumb, I'm sure, was one of them.
Yeah, oh, for sure it was. That was the scary. That was probably as close as he got to not playing. He got bit by a dog that one time.
Well, that was
maybe not reported
properly.
Okay.
But the whole premise here was they were talking about Sam Darnold and the mono. And
I was going to say, you know what Brady's not out with?
No, not out with mono.
Yeah.
But they asked him if he'd ever been so sick that he was going to miss a game. And, he said, no, not sick, but I've
close.
Almost
yeah,
missed games a lot of times.
He's been close, but it's the method. You know, the TB12 method. It allows you to go out there and play.
Never with an illness. I've been close plenty other times with, you know, a myriad of different issues, but I missed those games in 2016. I missed the games in 2008. But I think that's pretty much it. So never, you know, just the flu or anything like that.
Those games in 2016.
Yeah, why did he miss those games? Yeah, what happened in the 2016? So he missed those games. That was, you know, not injury. And then two backups both got hurt. Remember, that was wild about that year.
3 weeks.
Both backups got hurt. Pretty wild. Oh, I was also thinking about the Jets. They got to, at the very least, tie a record. They're going to have three different starting quarterbacks in 3 weeks. The first 3 weeks of the season, they're going to start a different quarterback every game. Who's done
that's,
that?
That's suboptimal,
that's
isn't
insane.
It?
That's
insane. Yeah.
And I mean, Sam Darnold, again, the mono thing.
The Patriots actually did that.
What, had mono?
No, not that. Well, I don't know if they... Yeah. But they did start three starting quarterbacks in three consecutive weeks after Brady's suspension.
Correct.
It was, you know...
No, actually, no, they didn't because...
I thought Garoppolo and then
Garoppolo, Brissett. than Brady.
Okay.
But also that was, you know, that was not the first three, like right out of the
right,
chute.
Right.
You go backup week two, third string week three. Who knows? David Fales could end up starting week four for the Jets. But yeah, it's just something to sort of monitor. And doesn't it also go back to, Dale, we understand the mindset that the Patriots have of playing a full 60 minutes. And for the most part, I used to have no problem with that. But when quarterbacks are getting hurt around the league, when your offensive line is missing three starters and you're throwing the ball up 37-0 with 5 minutes to go, you're putting Tom Brady at risk of getting hit more. And, oh, by the way, he at the very least has a calf injury. So,
well, we know that now.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I don't know.
Some sort. Although, you know what? I'm going under the assumption he's kind of on a pitch count for practices this year. He's 42 years old. We're not going to burn him out.
And so
you know what? Let's just say he's got a calf injury. We limited him practice today.
But if he's on a pitch count in practice, shouldn't he also, maybe isn't this the year that you do take him out when you're up 40-0?
Yes.
That's what I think. And again, I admit I completely changed. In 07, I had no problem with it. And even, you know, a couple of years ago, I had no problem with it. I was like, these guys, you're pros. You go out there. You want to finish the job. And not that the Dolphins had any risk of there was no chance they were going to come back and win the game, obviously, even if you went to Stidham in the second half. Or you know what? In the first half. But you can't play it that way. You want these guys to play as long as possible. But some of those things, it's just extra risk. And he is 42. He's got a calf injury. And we know what happens. If you have any kind of injury, I feel like you're more susceptible to another injury because you might be running differently or kind of, you know, the way he moves, he could be affected now by the calf. So I don't know, get him out. When you're up 35-0, get him out.
Can you imagine how aggressive the rub down from Alex is going to be on that calf?
Hopefully not too aggressive. Actually, that's probably how he got the injury.
He might have actually.
I think we figured
Alex,
it out.
He's easy
back there. That could have been it.
He was a little aggressive.
Yeah, that's 40 is just a number.
Ah. I don't think we could air that, can we? Can we play that?
I'm not even sure. There's got to be.
40 is just a number.
I think. You ever had a real bad calf cramp? Yeah, that could knock you out a week and a half.
I mean, I don't
like a real bad calf cramp.
Get those in the middle of the night.
Oh,
you feel like you've been
yes.
shot in the calf, and you're like, it's just so painful.
I one time got a calf cramp when I was at a hotel, and you know how they tuck the sheets in super
tight?
And
you couldn't move.
It was torture. I thought I was stuck there. I thought I might die there on the hotel bed because I couldn't get out quick enough. Because at my house, you know, I could, you know, it's not jammed in there so much where it's impossible to get out. And that calf cramp, you just want to let it breathe, but then you don't know which way to bend your foot.
Oh, if it goes away.
If you go the wrong way.
Okay. So it goes away, yeah. And you move your foot like the wrong way, and it comes
worse.
Right back.
It's worse. And it goes from like your ankle all the way to your knee, and you're just like, there's no worse pain than this in the world.
I want to die.
So maybe that's what Brady was dealing with. Maybe he just had a calf cramp yesterday.
Yeah,
he had to miss a couple snaps.
Probably.
So he needs more bananas.
There was a story that came out yesterday, speaking of Brady and the protection of quarterbacks. I don't know the site for the win. I'm not familiar.
It's a USA Today aggregator.
Okay. So Andrew Joseph writing for the win.
Sounds like a nice positive site.
Evidently it is.
You know what I mean?
So the headline is Dolphins linebacker Raekwon McMillan says ref told him to stay off Tom.
This guy in Wu-Tang Clan?
After a legal hit on Tom Brady. Raekwon McMillan.
Raekwon. Yeah, he's Raekwon the chef. He was in Wu-Tang.
Does the first name and the last name go together? Raekwon McMillan.
McMillan.
So he says, the early going of the 2019 season, brutal for the NFL starting quarterbacks. Yada,
yes,
yada, yada.
Agreed.
Did Bill Vinovich's officiating crew go a little too far in trying to protect the quarterback on Sunday? So the third-year pro from Ohio State. The Ohio State.
They lost that trademark, though.
I know. Yeah. Raekwon McMillan told the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson that an official from Sunday's 43-0 loss to the Patriots had some words for him as he took a perfectly legal hit on Tom Brady. This official evidently said, quote, stay off Tom, unquote. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that, A, it might not have been a perfectly legal hit on Tom Brady. That's what Raekwon is telling you. And that it had more to do with, look, they protect all the quarterbacks.
They do.
The way they're trying to place this is that, oh, they're just looking out for Brady more than they do anybody else. Have you not watched how they look out for quarterbacks in this league?
But don't you think they should?
Yes.
I think they should. I think they've gotten to a point. I mean, they're not going to go back to the way that it was where you could rip Joe Theismann's ankle off or you could rip, you know, go right after the helmet and, you know, these helmet hits. It's funny. If you ever go back and watch football, like some of the NFL classic games, it's crazy how the quarterbacks get absolutely pounded, and it's like nothing. You just like keep going, you just keep playing. That is
you
so
think
far
about
gone.
Poor Steve Grogan in the
they get killed. These guys
physical
get murdered.
Abuse he took when he was playing,
and that's why it's still. Don't get me wrong; it's still wildly impressive that Brady's playing until he's 42. But this next generation of quarterbacks, there's going to be more of them playing to 40, just based on how they officiate it
and they protect him.
But I wouldn't rule this out being true. Now, and maybe it was one of those ones where he tackled him and he laid on him for a second.
See,
and he said, "Stay off of him."
That's what I think. But I think Raekwon is trying to make it sound, hey, I didn't do anything wrong, and they told me to get off Tom Brady.
Maybe.
First of all, it's a non-competitive game, and I'm sure the officials were concerned about, you know, frustrated Dolphins players taking cheap shots at the Patriots quarterback.
But if Brady's still going to throw, those guys should still be able to hit him. That's what they're still playing football, so they should still be able to hit him. And that's one of the things on this Sunday. If you want to have Brady out there thrown in the fourth quarter when you're up big, you're going up against Greg Williams, you're going up against Jamal Adams. If Brady gets a shot to the knee, who are you going to blame? You're going to blame Greg Williams? You're going to blame Jamal Adams? Or maybe yourself for leaving him in there? Or what
or
I would expect for them to leave him there.
Importantly, I know what they're trying to present is the officials are just looking out for Tom Brady like they always do. How many times a game does an official say to a defensive player, hey,
yeah,
get off Aaron Rodgers? Or, hey, you know, get off Drew Brees while we're playing?
Oh, I don't think it's necessarily a Tom Brady thing.
That's how they're presenting it.
Oh, okay. But I think going forward, there's less great quarterback. Like, I would say they're probably saying the same thing about Pat Mahomes. And you could make a great case that they shouldn't. If it's a legal hit, it's a legal hit. And if you think it's not, then throw the flag. What are you telling me to stay off of him for? It's not flag football yet. Maybe one year it will get there, but it's not flag football yet. So the defensive players should still be able to hit the quarterback.
Although Jalen Ramsey said it is.
Yeah.
Do you see his tweet?
I do not follow.
He got fined $21,000 for a hit last weekend, and he's pissed.
Oh, that was Jamal Adams, you mean?
Jamal Adams.
Yeah, Jamal Adams.
This is not flag football,
I would die on the field.
Yeah, he's going to kill somebody this weekend. He just is. He's like a missile out there. He's going to hurt. What? Maybe it's the mascot again, or maybe who knows who it is.
That seems to be who he's been going
but
for.
He's a good player, though. He'll probably take somebody out. But it is. It's a weird spot because the league just saw all of these quarterbacks get hurt. They saw Andrew Luck retire before the season started. Ben Roethlisberger's out for the year. Drew Brees is out. And then even to a lesser degree, guys like Nick Foles, Sam Darnold, although that wasn't an injury, but still, all those guys are out. There's not a lot of good quarterbacks. It's probably in their best interest to protect those guys.
Yes.
Like, the league has probably talked to the refs and tried to make it sure. Now, you got to let defensive players still play defense. There's still going to be sacks on the quarterback. But Pat Mahomes, Brady, who else? Like, Dak Prescott, maybe. Like, some of these other quarterbacks in the league, they're probably going to be protected, because if you start to lose those guys, remember there was the year that Aaron Rodgers got hurt a few years ago. It was like Aaron Rodgers and a pile of other quarterbacks went down, and all of a sudden it looked much worse. And that might have even been during one of the kneeling years. And everybody said, oh, it was the kneeling that got people away. I'm like, yeah, that may have been part of it, but I think also the quarterback play not being very good, forcing these backup quarterbacks to on primetime games like on Thursday and Monday nights, that's also not good for the sport.
We see it all the time on these mic'd up segments, NFL films segments, you know, all of those things that they do. If it's borderline, you'll often hear the officials say, hey, listen, watch what you're doing there. There was the segment with Julian, you know, where I get so defensive, you know, where the official was saying, I didn't call it. I'm just telling you, be careful of that.
Yeah, there's always a conversation going
on. I have a feeling
that's
what Raekwon got was, hey, be careful what you're doing here. And and he turned it into, stay off Tom Brady, okay?
Well, I mean, maybe the guy did say stay off Tom, but maybe that he just interpreted it differently, right?
Right. When he said, Raekwon said it was a perfectly legal hit, that's the part I pushed the BS button on. A perfectly legal hit would not cause an official to say, Raekwon, don't do that. That's Tom Brady.
Well, did you see any illegal hits on Brady in the game?
I saw lots of hits on him.
No illegal hits on Brady.
I mean.
Oh, so what are you talking about then? I don't think there was any illegal hits. He got hit a bunch because the offensive line is in shambles right now. And so for a defense that's not even that good, I thought he got hit a lot. I don't remember seeing any that should have been flagged. But if the refs are trying to protect Tom Brady, I mean, I think if you have a star quarterback in the league, it's almost like having a star player in the NBA. Like, they're going to get more of the calls. But they didn't flag anybody, right? There wasn't any late hits on the quarterback, I don't believe. Yeah, no. I mean, they flagged plenty of the Dolphins, but it was right, the quarterback, I don't remember anything there.
And it could be, as I said, one of these, hey, listen, Raekwon, you're right on the line here. Be careful
just
with
so
that.
I, you know, next, like a one like that, you know, you could be looking at a flag, which you would think most players would like. Rather than not hearing anything from the ref, and then all of a sudden you get flagged, kind of knowing where that line is. Because if you can hit the quarterback, you should. Like, every single time. That's
the idea.
That should help. That's
as long as you do it legally and
right, for
cleanly,
some of those guys, that's the job. So they're making it more and more difficult for them, but that's what they're still supposed to do.
It's my only fear for Sunday's game at Gillette Stadium. My only fear is that Greg Williams gets somebody like Jamal Adams all amped up, and it's, hey, take him out if you can take him out. Get him. I mean, they know that they have virtually no chance of winning this game unless we can get that quarterback out.
Greg Williams might be the worst thing to happen to football in the last 10 years.
Yes.
Like, he really might be, because you can take all this other stuff and you could say, well, if a guy was doing something like some of these guys that were doing like HGH or steroids, whatever, they're trying to get back from injury. I don't even care about that. They're trying to get back from injury. They're trying to do this. The whole Tom Brady saga, we've talked about that till we're all blue in the face. Doesn't really matter as far as the game is concerned. All these other things, you know, maybe a slight competitive advantage here or there, but trying to injure players in a league where there's already so many injuries. I mean, it's the most dangerous sport out of all the four majors, and now you have a coach trying to incentivize.
Yes.
That's not a word.
Yes, it is.
He's doing that to his players to hurt other guys on the team. And then he says that he's never done that, even though he got busted for it in the Saints.
For it.
There are Browns players that say he did it there, too.
Yes.
Odell Beckham is saying that, you know, he's heard all about it. Even in the preseason, he was doing it. And then this idiot still gets a job.
And this idiot is going to be the defensive coordinator against your team on Sunday in a game that he knows really the only chance they have of winning this game is if that quarterback isn't playing.
They are going to lose the game by a ton. That's just the way that it is. And so what does a 15-yard penalty mean in a game that you're down 30 points? Anything? Does it mean anything?
Yeah.
And what does even a one-game suspension mean? You know, say Jamal Adams happens to be the guy that takes out Brady. What does a one-game suspension mean in a season that is probably already lost? It doesn't mean anything. And so you're not penalizing. There's nothing you can do to the Jets that would cost them a chance at the Super Bowl or even a chance at the playoffs. And that's where it gets kind of scary because, again, we've talked about it for years. When the Patriots used to face Ndamukong Suh, people were saying, oh, my God, is he going to be cheap? Is he going to do something?
Somebody,
is he going to do something?
Yeah.
You're like, it never really happened. But I think the Greg Williams-Jamal Adams combo is what should be scary, because Greg Williams is going to go after these guys, and he is really going to take offense to it, too, if there is a big lead, which we all expect there to be, and if the Patriots say, hey, we're going to keep playing, then Greg Williams, not only does he say, we're going to keep playing, but we might spice it up a little bit. We might go after you, because now you're also pissed. You're losing.
That's what they're scares right up me on, about
and
Sunday.
And so it's not even necessarily the first snap, which I wouldn't rule out with Greg Williams, like first quarter, but as soon as the game gets out of hand, I could see him saying, all right, those guys want to do that? Well, it won't be so funny when, you know, his ACL's on the ground. And that's just, you shouldn't have that fear. Like, you shouldn't be worried about, yeah, there's always injuries, but not because one side is trying to hurt somebody else. And that's exactly what you have with the Jets.
One quick note, because Thursday Night Football is tonight. It's a corker of a game.
I can't
it's,
wait.
It's just going to keep me up now. I'll DVR going? It.
Don't, are you?
Don't give up anything.
I won't. You're going to wake up early and watch it?
Yeah, I'll get up early. So
yeah.
The interesting thing here is that Jalen Ramsey got in a fight with his coach, Doug Marrone, last weekend, has requested a trade. It's basically been reported they probably will trade him, but tomorrow, after the game.
Which is weird business, by the way.
By the way, you don't play him.
Right.
If you're going to trade him tomorrow, what if he goes out and breaks his leg tonight?
I was
going to
say, the Pelicans barely played Anthony Davis all season they could trade him.
So the whole premise here was they're probably going to trade him tomorrow.
Right.
Adam Schefter tweeted out, at the beginning of this week, an NFL team reached out to the league office and asked whether Jalen Ramsey could play on Sunday for that team after he played Thursday for the Jaguars.
Patriots called the league office?
The league informed the team no. It's one game per player per week. So they can play Sunday and then play Thursday. Yeah. But they can't play Thursday and then play Sunday.
Yeah, you're getting it.
Okay.
Now you're getting it. It's player safety, Dale. We're worried about player safety, obviously.
Now, obviously, in that case,
it's a rare circumstance
anyway. You'd be talking about three games in an eight-day period, which is maybe a little much.
But what about, what if the team that he was trading for was playing on Monday Night Football? Because then it's essentially, now you're getting even closer to the same thing. And so, I mean, it's just such a weird
circumstance. The difference here is, in the NFL, if you play Sunday and then you play Thursday, then you get 10 days off before you have to play again.
Yeah, right.
If he plays Sunday and then plays tonight, which I wouldn't do if I were them, but if they
Thursday,
play him tonight.
Sunday, then Sunday
and then,
again.
You know, I'm actually with the league on this one, as dumb as I think they are
most
of the time.
Ultimately, I am too. I mean, it's not something that would come up that often, though, right? It would have to be a guy that plays in the. So there's two teams that play every Thursday, and it would have to be one of those players then gets traded on Friday to a team that is still playing that way. Like, it wouldn't happen that often. Plus, if a guy really was on the trade block, most smart teams wouldn't play him. What if Jalen Ramsey blows out his knee tonight?
I would not play him.
The point?
If I want to trade him tomorrow,
trade him today.
Why would I let him play for me tonight and then trade him tomorrow?
It is weird. And he's also one of the few guys that could easily, if he was allowed to also play Sunday, you just put him out there and say, all right, we're playing man. Like, we'll teach you the defense another time. Just go play man out there. But what a weird spot, too. So now he's playing a game with his teammates. All of his teammates know that he wants out. He's already demanded a trade publicly. So you got 10 guys on the field, like this brotherhood, brotherhood. Like, yeah, well, he wants out, but he's still going to play. But the team's like, we know you want out, and we're going to get rid of you, but let's beat the Titans
first. Let's go now. let's get out there.
Yeah, that's a nice message.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Peter King, find out from a national perspective what people are saying about the Patriots, and especially their certain wide receiver who seemed to have gotten his wrist slapped about an Instagram post. We'll talk about that as well.
Yeah.
It's Dale and Keith, time to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
It's time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King. Football Morning in America is what his column is. You see him on Football Night in America as well. Peter's brought to you by Needham Bank, and he joins us a little different time than normal because of Red Sox baseball today. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
What's going on, Dale? How are you?
Doing great, thanks. I noted with interest today, Adam Schefter reported that the NFL is considering trying to find other ways to further protect quarterbacks in the NFL. And given the spate of injuries, I guess I sort of understand where it's all coming from. But I can see old-time football people saying, you're not protecting them enough now?
Well, old-time football people, rightfully so, have been saying that for the last two or three years. I think the biggest thing that happens is this is really kind of a knee jerk. And I read that tweet from Adam and I had not heard that. I don't know really what they can do. I mean, there's really, they protect quarterbacks well enough already. It's a contact sport. I think what has happened here basically, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, it sounds like, had a pre-existing elbow injury. If you saw, it's interesting. Chris Sims and I were in Steelers camp in Latrobe in August. And one of the things that was very interesting is that Ben Roethlisberger mostly had the day off the day we were there. He didn't throw very much at all. And yet afterwards, his right elbow was mummified in ice. He had a huge, ace bandage and ice configuration on his right elbow. And so, and after he got hurt the other day, you had Mason Rudolph saying this is something he's been dealing with. So basically, and I'm not saying they're trying to hide anything. I mean, clearly he was playing, so whatever, everybody has some aches and pains. But so you have that injury, you have the Drew Brees injury. I mean, Drew Brees hit his hand on Aaron Donald which was, there's no way that you can protect a quarterback any more than, you know, Breeze has been protected. He's missed three games in 13 years. So I understand that the NFL has to say, hey, we're going to try to protect the franchise players. They're doing a fine job as it is right now.
And so, Peter, regardless of how those guys went down, when you just take a look at who is starting week three across the NFL, do you think the league has a quarterback problem?
I don't think so. I mean, last year, NFL quarterbacks, in 2017, starting quarterbacks in the NFL missed 112 games due to injury. Last year, NFL starting quarterbacks missed 60 games due to injury. This is trending in the right direction. I don't know.
Oh, no, Peter. I'm sorry. I don't mean a problem like protecting them. I just mean problem like how many great ones are there anymore?
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Well, look, in my opinion, as I look at the young quarterbacks in the game right now, I mean, Lamar Jackson has got 145 quarterback rating after 2 weeks with 7 touchdowns and no interceptions. I mean, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes meeting Sunday in Kansas City is at least one sign that, you know, the fate of the future at quarterback is in pretty good hands. Kyler Murray is fun to watch. We don't know what he's going to be. We don't know what Lamar Jackson's going to be either. But I don't know. I don't really think, I mean, obviously, when you've got when you've got Luke Falk starting for the New York Jets in week three, you say, oh my God, what is going on? Well, fluky things are going on. I've covered the NFL for 35 years. I've never seen a quarterback miss time with mono. You know, so I don't think the injury to Trevor Siemian is shaking. And again, with all due respect to Trevor Siemian, That's not going to affect the ratings very much, the fact that Trevor Siemian won't be the quarterback in New England on Sunday. I really don't, as I look at the league right now and look at some of the young quarterbacks, look, Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston are cause for concern. They were the first and second picks in 2015. Both are playing for their jobs. And if I were to guess right now, I'd be very shaky on whether either one is going to get a second contract with their team. So there are some young quarterbacks who are not fulfilling the promise that we thought that they had. But I'm not sure that's very different from any other era in NFL history.
If I'm a Patriots fan, only one thing concerns me for Sunday's game here against the Jets. It's that the game gets out of hand. You've got a Greg Williams defense with the accusations that have been made against him in the past, and you've got Jamal Adams, who's a bit of a nutcase. If I'm the Patriots, that's the one thing that scares me.
Well, if I were Bill Belichick and I had a 20-point lead with 12 minutes to go, with all due respect to his stated goal of we have to play 60 minutes, we got to get ready for a full schedule, we're taking care of our team, we're not worrying about the other team. Dale, I couldn't agree with you more, especially in a week where Tom Brady evidently has some sort of calf injury that he is trying to, make better. And in a week where your offensive line, the New England offensive line, is at best weakened. I would not be too concerned with playing 60 minutes this week. We'll see how it goes, but I'd rather get Brady out of there, particularly this week.
Peter, where do you think Jalen Ramsey ends up? And because as a Patriots fan, I'm hoping it's not the Chiefs.
I think if I were to put money right now, I'd put money on one of four teams in this order: the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Baltimore Ravens, in order. And the reason I would do that, there's a commonality in each team, and that is the person making the football decisions has guts and is willing to make a risky move. Howie Roseman with the Eagles, John Schneider with the Seahawks, Andy Reid with the Chiefs, New England's own Eric DaCosta in Baltimore. And you also have to look at, Rich, in each case, each team, I think, would be very willing to give a one plus for Jalen Ramsey, which is what it's going to take. For instance, in Philadelphia, I could see Philadelphia talking to Jacksonville and saying, we'll give you a 1 in 20, a 3 in 21, and Sidney Jones, sort of their underachieving second-round pick from a couple of years ago. We'll do that. But Rich, I think there's something really important to consider other than just what we're talking about in terms of compensation, and that is, no team is going to want to trade for Jalen Ramsey if they're not sure that they can sign him long term.
Right.
And also, let's say that they can't be sure, but they think they're optimistic they can sign him. They cannot afford Jalen Ramsey next year to hold out the way like a Melvin Gordon or Ezekiel Elliott did, because if you're trading a lot for Jalen Ramsey, you have to be sure that you are getting at least 2 years out of him. And so I think this is a bit of a high wire act. It's going to take a gutty general manager. It's going to take a team that is willing to trade its one next year and something else. And it's going to take a team that is willing to take some financial risk.
Isn't it stupid for the Jaguars to play him tonight?
Not necessarily. The Jaguars are trying to save their season. And this is a must game for the Jaguars. So I see what you're saying, Dale, but I think it might be stupid for them to trade Jalen Ramsey. You know,
but assuming that they're committed to that, I think it's dumb to play him.
If they're committed to that, this is 1/16 of your season tonight. This is, you got to win this game. You have to win this game. Or else, I'm not saying you're playing for 2021. Teams have made the playoffs after going 0-3, but not many. And I don't know, Dale. I understand what you're saying, but I would play Jalen Ramsey if I were Jacksonville.
Now, do you think this is going to become a trend in the NFL? We know that it isn't. In the NBA, it clearly is. We've been dealing with that for a little while now. We've come to accept it. And, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick was a first-round pick a year ago on a bad team. See you later. Jalen Ramsey's upset. Great player. It looks like he's going to be on his way. Is this something we should start to expect?
Here's the way I look at this. I think in the NBA right now, and again, I don't really follow the NBA much at all, but if you're the Charlotte Hornets and you basically have your best player, the best player on your team in the last few years is Kemba Walker, and he leaves because he doesn't think that you're going to be competitive, and he goes to Boston because he thinks Boston can be and will be competitive, and they'll pay him at the top of the market. To me, I think it is, that could be a harbinger of what's going to happen in the NFL. The only thing that I would say is that in the NFL, you know, you basically have a couple of things that can tie a player to a team. One, for a very big star, a big early, you know, a rookie who is a first-round pick, you can put that fifth-year option on him and make him play the fifth year. Or he holds out and obviously makes it tough for you. The second thing is, we have heard Minkah Fitzpatrick say, I want out. We've heard some other people, Jalen Ramsey, say you want out. Here's my point. Why do you have to, if you are, and also Antonio Brown in Oakland, why do you have to, if you're those teams, why do the Jacksonville Jaguars have to trade Jalen Ramsey? I mean, it's clear he doesn't want to sign there long term, but if you view this season as an important season because you've got a bunch of guys getting older there, like Calais Campbell, why do you have to trade him? Why can't you just say, hey, look, we will figure this out after the year? It could be that Jalen Ramsey does some sort of work action and he does something like he walks out or something, and then you have to make a decision. But I don't know. We haven't seen what's happened in the NFL yet when a team says, other than like with the Chargers right now with Melvin Gordon, they have not budged. And what is Melvin Gordon's option? He's going to either have to go back and play with the Chargers or he's not going to play. So I still think that teams have an advantage that they ought to try to exercise.
Final question before we let you go, and briefly, you've been in the room, you've cast ballots. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
I think that if I were to guess right now in whatever year, 2027 or whatever it would be when he comes up, my guess is that at some point, maybe not in the first year, that yes, he will get in. I've done a little research on this in the last few days, and you know, it's very interesting when you look at the history, the recent history, let's say, of quarterbacks getting into the Hall of Fame. Between 1960 and 1980, 11 quarterbacks who played the majority of their career in that era, from 1960 to 80, 11 quarterbacks out of 26 franchises, AFL and NFL, made the Hall of Fame. From 80 to 1,000, 8 out of 28 got in. And from 2000 to 2020, I mean, obviously, Favre and Warner are already in, of guys who played the majority of their careers in that period. Favre and Warner are in. Brady, Manning, and Breeze are going to be in. And then after that, what do you have? You have, to my opinion, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, are almost locks, I would say, and Eli then probably comes next, along with Philip Rivers. So let's just say that all those guys got in. Favre, Warner, Brady, Peyton Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, and Rivers and Eli. That's 9 out of 32 franchises, 9 out of 32 teams, which is a little bit less than 11 and 8 in the prior 20-year periods. And I'm not saying that you have to stick by that. But what I am saying is that historically, I don't know how you put in, for instance, Bob Greasy, Sonny Jurgensen, Len Dawson, let's just say, and you don't put in Eli Manning. But again, I do think that people need to take a look at his regular season performance, which has been abjectly mediocre. So I think there's two ways to look at it, but if you ask me my gut feeling is at some point, maybe not the first year, but at some point he probably will get in.
Peter, we appreciate the time, and thanks for moving things around a bit today. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
See ya. Peter King, Football Morning in America. Now, we've got some...
couple of interesting things from Peter, too, that I want to get to on the other side, and some more Antonio Brown news.
Now, John, help me out here.
You want to tease it, or you want to just do it now?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, we'll give it to you when we come back, and we'll get to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Some more Antonio Brown news that came out here within the last few minutes. Michael Silverman, who now works for Boston Globe Sports, wrote a piece that just ran on Boston Globe Sports within the last few minutes. Antonio Brown is no longer a Nike athlete.
Oh, boy.
A spokesperson for Nike said Wednesday night, Antonio Brown is not a Nike athlete. I'm quoting now from Silverman's piece. Asked multiple times to elaborate on the reason for the decision and clarify its timing, the spokesperson declined. Several signs suggest that recent allegations against the wide receiver served as a catalyst for why the world's largest sneaker seller would want to disassociate itself from Brown. I will remind you that not only did they not disassociate themselves from Tiger Woods in the aftermath of the embarrassing charges posted against
although
him.
That was just embarrassing. He was never charged with rape, or even there was no allegations of that. He just cheated on his wife.
But they did not disassociate themselves from Tiger at all. In fact, they kind of doubled down.
But they're, I think, very different.
I understand.
Do you want to know a list of athletes they have dumped?
Is this it?
No. Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao went on a Philippine television station and had a made homophobic comments. So they dumped him. They were upset about that. Michael Vick. Remember Michael Vick?
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Michael Vick. So they had him. They dumped him. Let's see. Who else? Lance Armstrong.
Ooh.
Do you remember Lance Armstrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Ray Rice? Remember Ray Rice?
Yow.
Yeah. That's on the list. And then Oscar Pistorius.
Is this after he went to prison or before?
Yeah. I think he may have killed his girlfriend, so they dumped him. And also, to a lesser degree, Maria Sharapova, because she got in trouble for like performance enhancers or whatever. So like that's lower on the list, but she got popped for something at one time and has since come back. But they were all
Didn't they also drop John Bones Jones for the same thing? It was the performance enhancing.
So he claims that it wasn't that. John Jones said that it was more mutual. I don't know if that's true necessarily, but he was at one time a Nike athlete. He no longer is. But also I know Reebok is like a huge MMA. They like all over the UFC. Right. So that could be that. But anyway, The type of company that Nike had, I mean, you're talking about Ray Rice, Michael Vick, Oscar freaking Pistorius, Lance Armstrong. I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest falls from graces for athletes, and now Antonio Brown sort of is lumped in there. And what we don't know is the timing, right? Because the spokesperson said last night just simply he is not a Nike athlete. So we don't know if that was new last night, if it was when these when the civil lawsuit first popped up. I don't know if it happened then.
The Globe had a photograph, I think. Yeah, the Globe's got a photograph of him on the practice field for the Patriots putting his Nike shoes on. So
you got to wear shoes still. You're just not getting paid for it anymore.
Yeah, or you find another pair of shoes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing Adidas right now. They don't give me a dime.
They should. So 3 days before he got released by the Oakland Raiders, Antonio Brown signed a helmet deal with Zenith Helmets.
Yeah, that's gone.
And agreed to wear the Zenith Shadow helmet this season. Shortly after Taylor filed her lawsuit, Zenith ended its deal with Brown, saying Zenith has decided to end our relationship with Antonio Brown. And they said they will have no further comment. His endorsement deal with PepsiCo, according to Michael Silverman, ended earlier this year.
Okay.
According to a recent Fox Business News article, Facebook ended its association with Brown in 2017. Pizza Hut and Campbell's Soup deals expired last year.
He had a lot of deals, though.
He doesn't have a whole lot left.
He had a bunch of them. He's slinging Pizza Hut? The guy's 3% body fat.
He lost Petco, too.
Petco?
After the piranha incident.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The PETA people got to be fired up with him. He killed, who knows, dozens of piranha.
I mean, I got to be honest with you.
You think they started eating each other before they ultimately died?
Well, you got to eat, right?
Yeah.
I said to Rich during the break, you know, and you came up with a list of some athletes that Nike has disassociated itself from.
No, they're all criminals. They're all horrible people.
What do you have to do to have Nike say, no, you got to go?
Well, according to this, it's either performance enhancers, which I really don't think should have you dropped by the company, but performance enhancers, homophobic comments, killing your girlfriend, punching your girlfriend, all the doping from Lance Armstrong, all of that stuff. I mean, that's the list of people. Kill a million dogs. Those are the list of people that were Nike athletes at one point and are no longer Nike athletes.
A texter points out Cristiano Ronaldo was accused of sexual assault in the United States. Not only did Nike not drop him, they gave him a new contract.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, that's true. He's got to make a ton from them. Yeah, so I don't know what it is about this one that they said to walk away. And maybe with Antonio Brown, too, if you're one of these sponsors, think about it. Some of them dropped Antonio Brown before this came out. So they might have just said, you know what?
Zenith Helmet was just after the lawsuit.
They were just after. But I'm saying, like, right, those other ones, like Pizza Hut and stuff, was before. And maybe they just thought, this guy's so unpredictable. We have a sense. We don't really like where this is going. They'd also heard about the balcony thing, right? Him firing the furniture off. And he's a bit unhinged. And you say, all right, do we really want this guy representing our product? When he's just the best receiver in football, yes, we do. When he's doing the stupid Masked Singer show or Dancing with the Stars, yes, we do. But, oh, wait a minute. Maybe they saw sort of a pattern of some of this stuff, and they said, you know what, we might want to step away from this before it gets bad, and it's since gotten bad.
It makes me wonder, and I said this to Rich during the break, I wonder if the Patriots ultimately are just going to say, you got to go. He had an Instagram post which he put out yesterday, I think it was. And I do follow him on Instagram now, so I saw this.
There you go. Good follow.
And there's a couple of pictures of him in his Patriots uniform with a bunch of newspaper articles spread about the two photographs.
Yeah, somebody did some nice work editing thing. He's in the Pats uni. Looks nice.
AB writes, it can get scary when you're legendary.
Is that a lyric?
Is that lyrics? I don't know.
Or is that a fortune Wu-Tang cookie note? Wu-Tang had that? Was that Raekwon the Chef?
Raekwon, yeah.
So, and the newspaper articles, one of them has to do with the helmet fiasco, quote-unquote.
That was a big story.
One of them has Mayock and Brown shouting match. And in the lower right-hand corner, there's a newspaper article that says, Antonio Brown accused of sexual misconduct. I might not have put that in there. You know, the helmet thing, okay. Mayock and Brown, okay. Yet don't put anything in there about an accusation of sexual misconduct when the league is still investigating it.
It was Antonio Brown who said take it down. Because there's no way he edited that.
No, he didn't.
No, but he didn't make that.
No, absolutely.
So maybe the guy
made it put it up without his approval, right?
He probably looked at it quick and said, sure.
Possible.
I don't know. It could also be Rosenhaus. It could be Tom Brady. It could be
Bill Belichick.
I don't know if Belichick's on the Instagram, but I'm sure somebody let him know. Yeah, Edelman. Like it could be anybody. But we know he didn't make it. That would be like if there was something in the TB Times that was a little off. Like, yeah, it ultimately does go on to Brady, but he wasn't the one sitting there with the Microsoft Paint putting the whole thing together.
But I gotta believe nothing hits social media with Tom Brady's name on it that
and
he doesn't approve.
Lucy knowing about it.
It looks like Scary When You're Legendary is a line from a Future song off his album Hendrix.
I knew it! Well, I didn't know who sang it, but I figured that was
it's from a rap song.
A lyric.
It's a rap rhyme.
Thank you for it. It certainly was. I'm going to start using it, actually, I think.
Guy who had foot problems already.
Here we go.
Let's be careful, John.
Don't even try.
So a guy who had foot problems already now is in the market for new shoes, apparently.
Well, we saw Nikes. I mean, Zion Williamson busted through his, so you may not even want Nikes. You want something that he can stay on your feet.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Your calls are coming up next as it seems as though the stuff keeps coming for Antonio Brown. We'll get to the calls with you coming up next. We take you up till Red Sox baseball just around noon, and we're part of the Red Sox pregame show. In fact, we'll talk to Sam Kennedy during the pregame show here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.